Up, people of the internet, it is Dave, it is Duncan, back from Metal Epidemic for another album review. And for this review, Duncan and I have been checking out the new album from Dutch rock band Dool. The band's new album, The Shape of Fluidity, will be released on April 19th via Prophecy Productions. Everything flows, nothing ever stays the same. This notion of the ancient Greek philosopher,
Herodotus. Yeah, no? Herodotus was a historian. Heraclitus was the philosopher.
Heraclitus, that's the one.
There you go, you're welcome.
Greek philosopher.
That's what I'm here for. That's literally all I'm here for, is like dick jokes in Greek mythology.
Well, the notion of the ancient Greek philosopher applies to all of us as life itself.
Don't mention his name again.
Nope, and is in a constant state of change. The same can be said about the third studio album of the fast-rising Dutch rock band Dool.
This is only album 3.
Yeah, I know. Aptly entitled The Shape of Fluidity, there is not much musical innovation, but the full length revolves around themes of personal change, physical change, psychological change, and the ever-changing world around us. Dool, and particularly singer and guitarist Raven Van Dorst, asks questions. How does change affect us? How do we keep being ourselves in a world that is so incredibly demanding and aggressive towards the individual? We must be as fluid as water to navigate ourselves through this ocean of possibilities and uncertainties and make peace with chaos and impermanence.
Very Bruce Lee.
Yeah.
Be like water, Dave.
Be like water.
Musically,
Dool continue on the path laid out on the two previous studio recordings of heartfelt rock music with added metal elements while displaying a maturity and focus in songwriting that has grown out of experience. What sets the album apart from its predecessors is the collective endeavour that went into it with the combined forces of songwriting trio Raven and guitarist Nick Pollack and Omar Iskander. In the rhythm section, bass player JB Vanderwaal has been joined by the abundant creativity of new drummer Vincent Crader. On the technical side of the production, the outstanding engineering and mixing skills of Magnus Lindberg.
Oh, you're just bringing in the fucking big guns.
Yep, of Cult of Luna. And the excellent mastering by Ted Jensen.
What's happening right now?
I don't know.
It's like waiting for buses, Dave.
I know.
It's like waiting for Jensen buses. None of them come along, and then all of a sudden, two in one night.
Yeah.
That'll make sense if you check out other reviews that feature us wearing these clothes in or around the same time this is released.
They have created the perfect crisp and transparent as well as powerful sound for The Shape of Fluidity. It is hardly surprising that the theme of the album that pitches the concept of identity against the backdrop of a world in constant flux connects the album's lyrics to the biography of lead vocalist Raven. Born intersex, doctors at the time assumed that they could surgically determine what kind of life the infant should lead and decided that the child should be a girl. This has led to a life full of soul-searching, fighting taboos and breaking boundaries, until recently Raven decided to reclaim that which others have tried so hard to take away from them and finally embrace their hermaphroditic nature.
That's the right word, yeah.
The much more personal approach than before does by no means become self-centred. The lyrics of The Shape of Fluidity can easily be read as universal stories about finding oneself, swimming against the stream and facing the world head-on. We are all affected by questions of change and identity, but it is only legitimate and natural that art also reflects the artists as well as the world around them. The new album is 9 tracks in length and clocks in just under 50 minutes. So, we mentioned this kind of briefly off air beforehand, but this is a little bit of an interesting one and a bit of a landmark for Metal Epidemic, Duncan.
Oh, like, yeah, let's congratulations.
Yay. Get the streamers. Where's the streamers, Duncan?
Why do I do that again? Do I do it this way? No, that's the lasers. This way. Yay! Congratulations!
There we go. We started this podcast website reviewing machine back in early
thing 20... that takes us away from our families and they yeah. don't resent us for it.
Back in very early 2020, yep. And our first recording as a duo was a review of an album called Summerland by a little band by the name of Dool.
Now, I can go one step further, right? Because right. this actually did blow my mind today.
Okay.
On the day that we are recording this, yep. ladies and gents. So where is it? Come on. Yeah, on the day that we are recording this, which is the 10th of April, on the 10th of April, 2020, the previous Dool album that we are now talking about was actually released.
Yep.
So there you are. So exactly 4 years ago to the day of recording, the album was released.
Yeah.
So it was the first one we reviewed. Yeah. And there we are. We're right. It's bizarre.
That is
freaking weird synchronicities here.
Yeah. So 4 years on, we are older, slightly wiser.
Internet would disagree, Dave.
A little more cantankerous, maybe.
I'll put this way: reviews are longer.
yeah. Yes, they are. Views are longer, but
even if people want them shorter, guess what?
Tough. <No. laughs> Not gonna happen. But what about Dool, Duncan? What do they sound like 4 years later with a bit more experience?
What, you're coming to me first? Yeah.
What do you think of album 3 from Dool?
So we loved the previous album.
Yeah.
And the reason we loved the previous album was kind of, and I should have went back and listened to our review back then, which may have just been, I don't even think we had video back then, it was just audio. So.
Yeah,
just you did not see our faces at all, because
no.
you couldn't handle this.
No.
But the big thing that came away from it was it had a kind of rawness, a vulnerability to it, and it had massive vocals. And I think we come to the end of it more like, this is a phenomenal album from a band that are just clearly like just getting better. We would love to hear what that's going to sound like on album number 3. Turns out, Dave, that's going to sound fucking awesome. this is a confident fucking album, right? This is an album that will open comfortably with a 7-minute song, like yes. just as if it's nothing.
Yep.
And then kind of keep you kind of busy. There are very few tracks here that would be like stereotypically single length. And I love that, because what Dool do really well is building ideas and building movements within songs. None of the songs in this album feel their length, like at all. And they all sound fucking huge. Like, this was the thing, I listened to a couple of tracks off the previous album today when I was on the train coming home. And I was like, I'm going to go back and check that. And I'd forgotten how raw that, and when I say raw, I'm not talking about like it sounds like it was recorded in a fucking garage. I mean, it just didn't have like a degree of sheen and polish on it, which is surprising considering how commercial Dool actually sound. But they've got the right team here, like on this one. It sounds like $1 million, man. Yeah. This honestly sounds huge. It has like movements and textures and vulnerability and confidence and like vocals to die for. Oh, some of the melodies on this are so fucking good. They soar with ease over the tracks, and I just feel like this feels like a band that have transformed. Like, it feels like Neo in The Matrix when he's like that, now I know Kung Fu, and then all of a sudden he's knocking away fucking Morpheus as if he's fucking a fly. And that's how, like, they just sound massive. Like, had you told me at the start of this, Dool have signed to Pelagic Records, I would have been like, of course they have, because listen to the fucking sound of them. They sound massive. It does, like, this is a band that now sounds like, oh, we're not a club band anymore. You know, we're now playing to 2,000 to 4,000 people. Big venues. And it's not that I should be surprised of that. All the elements were there on the previous release. I think it's more that I think they are just more comfortable. Interesting from what you've read in the the PR statement there, kind of feels like they're more comfortable in their sound. And as a result of that, they are no longer confined to trying to maybe subdue some of those tendencies to go a bit proggier than they do. I mean, this album is about as commercial as prog elements get. Like, they have movements and kind of almost opuses that kind of carry through, but never to the point where they go, like, too arty or too avant-garde. They always keep it rooted back to that rock element, which permeates through their entire sound. Venus in Flames is the best opening statement from this one. It's a big old fucking huge banger. And like at the end of that one, you are kind of like, right, like, you're like, it's hard to not take notice. Now, we had checked out the replay on a podcast, one of their tracks recently, or had I just downloaded the single? So Hermer Gorgon, I think, is one of the singles, and I had it already on. Pain in the ass, conversation for another time, but if you are listening to singles that bands are releasing, and then if you're a reviewer and you get the album, and you have to, and iTunes anyway, other suppliers are available, you have to delete that off before you put the album in, otherwise it will combine the two, and you end up with double tracks for everything, and most of them aren't released yet. So it tries to play tracks that aren't there, and then you get double of the tracks that are there, and I scream and want to rip my eyeballs out and fucking press them into the monitor. So, like, I'd heard one track, and I'd already, at that point, the only one track I'd heard, I felt personally, when I got to the end, I was like, but this sounds like this feels bigger, feels weightier. Well, let's see how that plays out in the album. And that's exactly how it feels. I don't think, the thing musically, I don't think they've moved far. But I also don't think they had to move far. This is, I had next to no criticisms about the music on the previous album, with a little bit on the recording. I just feel like they are just more confident in their musicianship and songwriting. Self-Dissect, which is track two, has a huge section where, like, the vocals lean out and there's guitar solos and a big massive movement there. And I feel those moments were on the previous album, but they weren't given prominence. This is given the same weight as a section where the vocals would soar. And as a result of that kind of almost balancing of all the instrumentation, it just works. For me, it's hard to even pick a song that I would think is a highlight. I think, honestly, almost any song on here would be a single comfortably. And it's one of those ones as well that by the time it finished on that first listen, I was like, Duel are going to be huge. Like, just like, I just felt like, well, this is a fucking this is the easiest no-brainer for a band that are just going to sell millions of albums if a record label is confident and pushes them to the moon. I mean, we have to mention some, so we're going to mention them. The title track, The Shape of Fluidity, is a very vulnerable and very beautiful and a very haunting track. And I thought it stood out quite a bit for me. I think the opening, Venus in Flames, is fucking amazing. Let me talk a little bit about a track which has the most amazing name ever, House of a Thousand Dreams, which mocks someone that has insomnia, because I'm lucky if I have one dream a week. And when I do, it's mostly about shagging. And that's not what I want to dream about when I, like, anything else, Dave, anything else. It's the lowest common denominator. House of a Thousand Dreams comes in just after the halfway mark, and it is this beautiful, and I'm going to use words that were used in another review tonight, minimalist, kind of haunting, almost 70s kind of...
Yes, it's got a bit of folksy kind of feel about it.
Yeah, like, I felt like when I was listening to it, these guys have got tassels on their jackets and tambourines. Maybe daisies in their hair. And it is so against everything else in the album, and it's fucking brilliant because of that. And it sets up perfectly between The Evil In You and Hermagorgon, which is a track that follows it, which jumps back into a much heavier riff and takes you towards the closing of the album. And the closing of the album here, the last three songs together are about a third of the run length of the album overall, and really land it, and it sticks the fucking landing. The Hand of Creation lands in the way where you're like, that It's a satisfying sigh when you get to the end of it because it delivers the promise of it. Mm. The Shape of Fluidity is an already great band just leveling up to an exceptional status. I think across the board, they just sound like their best self. They sound like they've leveled up without losing any of what made them attractive or interesting on the previous album. And those 4 years have been kind to their sound. I really do. I think some of that comes from the partnership in the production. I think production and mixing in this are like absolutely immaculate and flawless. But I also think, vocally speaking, this feels more confident and broad in range. And I thought the vocals were exceptional previously. I think the guitar work, the bass work, and the drumming is exceptional. Mm. Well, the drummer is not doing anything flamboyant here. But I'll tell you right now, he's in the pocket all the way fucking through this. Mm. And that's what you need. That's what, like, some bands need that kind of proggy experimentalism. Other bands just need someone that is making sure everyone's fucking locked in. And that's what you have here with their new drummer. It's great. It's an easy, easy listen. I find myself being just dragged in to its kind of its beauty. It's a very beautiful album to listen to. It's a very pretty album. Mm-hmm. And yeah, Dool, surprise, surprise, are continuing to just show that there may be a cut above the rest out there. And they make it sound easy. It sounds doesn't sound like they're stretching or doing anything that's out with a comfort zone. It just feels like they've refined their approach to doing what they do. Mm-hmm. It's my view, Dave. Nice. You loved that previous one with me when we did that first review.
Yep.
How did you get on with the Shape of Fluidity?
well, Duncan. What a difference a duel makes, Duncan.
I had swallowed, and you're lucky, because if I had not swallowed, it would have come at my nose. I wouldn't have been happy. That's a fizzy drink.
I'll tell you what.
What difference a duel makes. You're a fucking wordsmith, a poet. Modern day Heraclitus.
All I could pronounce his name. I loved the opening of the last album of Summerland. That first opening track, Sulphur and Starlight, was the opening track. I thought that was a killer opening. Opening Gambit was like one of the strongest tracks in the album. I'm gonna go out on a limb here and say Venus in Flames, even bigger and even better opening track. Amazing. Like I was hooked from that first track. And the hooks are huge on this album. Like this is like the size of hook you'd use to fucking impale Jaws is you know, that's what you're hearing on this album. It is massive. Massive hook.
Glad we went with a giant shark and not a human being. I was like, is he going to go Texas Chainsaw Massacre on me right now? It's the size of hook you would use to string up a human.
the first track, actually, there's a bit of almost kind of like post-punk kind of feel in the guitars on the first track, which I was like, oh, this is cool. And then it kind of builds up over a couple of minutes. Starting to bring in other instrumentation before unleashing this really like dark and brooding chorus that is just utterly infectious. And it was really on the first track that I realized we are dealing with a new band here that have clearly spent much more time and much more effort shaping these tracks to be the kind of next level of their sound. The construction of this album from the ground up just feels, as you said, bigger, more accomplished, more layered, more detailed. And musically, the band sound on form on this album. And they know it. Like, this opening with a 7-minute track, like,
it was ballsy. I can't stress that. Like, there's a whole generation of music listeners that just don't play that game anymore.
Yeah, no.
They just won't sit through 7 minutes of an opening track at all. No. No. There's a whole lot of bands that don't do that because of that.
Where would you get that on a commercial rock album nowadays? Not a single band will attempt that.
3 minutes 45 or bust, pretty much.
Not Dool.
You know what? There's no wasted space on this album.
No, there's not. Absolutely.
You know what I mean?
Not.
And I don't mean that means everything is too full sounding. Mm. It's just like all the space is like adequately occupied with something without sounding too much at any point, without it bursting or without it having like, oh, it sounds a bit thin. It's just, it's full of self without bursting. It's brilliant.
Yeah. The layers in particular, I think, are fantastic on this. And they were always good at that. The previous album had a lot of that as well. But the way they build these tracks, the way they transition throughout each part, of just the opening track, was just, it was seamless. And it's flawless songwriting on this album. They've really mastered it on this. You can hear the growth. Like, I know it's like 4 years, but you can hear the difference from that last album to this one. And that's just the music I'm talking about. Vocally though, like, my God, Raven sounds even more in control vocally. Like, the tone is incredible. There's more depth to Raven's voice, more range, there's more character. The lower register on this is fantastic. Yeah. Like, unbelievable. But the top end is just as good. Like, they hit some really incredible high notes on Self-Dissect, where that chorus is way up there. And Raven does it with absolute ease.
That's the thing. I think it'd like to have a range.
Yeah.
And not feel like it's strained.
Not at all.
At any point is kind of, it's the same way when you listen to, I was thinking about like when we reviewed that previous Leprous album and we're like that. Yeah. How does he just like as if he's like picking an apple out of a tree, is that easy to hit those notes?
Yeah.
It's the same here. Like, nothing feels, feels like you can feel the stretch, but it doesn't sound like a stretch.
No. It feels confident, you know, like Raven always had a voice that pulled you in, but on this album, it feels even more commanding for me. And like, Duel just make sure they give you every ounce of what they are capable of on this release, and really early on in the album as well, which is, again, a really bold move, but their conviction on this is just far more evident on this release. You can hear they're not sitting back on this one. They've put together a collection of songs that feel all kind of tonally and thematically connected, but each give you something different from the band. And like, this is not an album where you get to the end, you're like, okay, I'm going to hit play again. This is an album that you want to hit play after one song finishes.
Yeah.
You're like, I'm going to just go back and listen to that song
again. I'll just listen to that opening song again. Yeah, yeah.
Every track's like that as well. You know, you got to the end and I was like, I'm going to just listen to that track again. They're that good. I also love the fact that on the Shape of Fluidity, they do get a little bit riffier on this album. Summerland wasn't an album that you could latch on to like riffs per se. It had multiple layers of guitars on it, different tones, including a lot of acoustic guitar, but it felt more like a backing or like an added texture. Here they are far more open to letting the guitars take a bit more control of the reins, and you really hear that on the title track, where the guitars go down a much more, it's almost like into sludge territory. It gives the track a real kind of groove, but again, you've got that killer chorus backing it up that will get stuck in your head. You also get some of that kind of sludgy, kind of almost again like into kind of like post-metal territory on Hermagorgon as well, which is probably some of the heaviest riffs on the album. But they offset that with some really clean melodic parts as well, which, as we've said previously on other reviews, will make the heavier parts sound even more impactful. Mm-hmm. And the bangers just keep on coming on this album. Like Evil in You is just, it's got a real kind of bass-driven groove, a little bit more of that kind of post-punk echoing through it, and killer vocal harmonies. House of a Thousand Dreams I mentioned, but yeah, a really cool ending with lots of dark layered vocals. The vocal hook on Hymn for Memory is incredible as well, very haunting, quite gothic. Yeah. Really bitching guitar solo on that track as well. And Hand of Creation is everything you'd want in a closing track. It is really like majestic and finishes on a high. It's got a really like grand kind of exit to the album.
It's a very heavy, delicate song.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean? There's moments that feel like a little bit more of a push would just make it all fall apart.
Yeah,
the balance is spot fucking on, yeah. Pristine, man.
Yeah, I mean, the hard facts are there is no bad song on this album.
As it pains us to say, and we've done our due diligence here, we got to the end and we realised between the two of us that, Yeah, you could. I when I said that earlier, I stand by it. You could release any song on this as a single, and I think it'd be perfect.
Absolutely. Yeah. There's not a skippable track on this release at all. Everything here, from the songwriting to the performances to the production, is top tier. And you know, they may have taken 4 years to do it, but it was absolutely worth it. This is, for me, this is their best album to date by a country mile. Loved it. Final thing. Scores for The Shape of Fluidity. Duncan, what is your score for this
album? So I didn't listen to the previous review, so I can't remember what I reviewed that previous album at.
Mm.
I know I didn't give it a 5, right?
No.
But what, it must have been a 4 or a 4.5. Must have been.
Yeah.
I think this, and I'm going to say it again, this is a great fucking year for music. This, to me, is a 5. Like, there's not a bad song on here at all. And it's not even that there's not a bad song on here. There's not a song that I can find a flaw in at all. So, and trust me, I have listened. Like, after about listen 3, I started to go into the, am I being too kind? Like, I need to start, like, being, like, the fucking, like, the beer goggles are coming off and the hypercritical lens is coming on. And, like, you put this album under a microscope and there is no flaw at all.
Yeah.
This is, it's immaculate. And it's emotive, it's huge, it's captivating, it's progressive, it's commercial, and it's done with a confidence that bands 20 years or senior are still struggling with to try and capture an identity.
Yeah.
So, yeah, for the second time, I think, tonight in our recording schedule, I'm going to swing out a 5 on this one. I couldn't give it anything less. I honestly couldn't. If I dropped at a 0.5, I would be in a, I would honestly, I couldn't sleep and I'd be a dick, right? And I don't want to be either. So yeah, no guilt, no argument. It's a 5. It's fucking great.
It is a 5 for me as well.
There we go. See, Dave agrees.
This band are in their prime right now. And this album is just everything I wanted from the band. It is meticulously crafted. And I couldn't find a single thing to complain about on this album at all.
How do we get a dual Grayscale Seasons tour? Right, how do we get that to happen, and how do we get it to Scotland? That's what I need to work out.
That's an interesting bill, Duncan.
Let's put it out there. It would work, trust me. It would fucking work.
Do you think so?
Oh, aye. 100%. Variety is the spice of life, Dave.
Well, that is true. That is true.
That's all.
Duel, The Shape of Fluidity, out on April 19th on Prophecy Productions. Links below to the band, to the pre-order. Check it out. Have a listen. See what you think. This comes highly recommended from Metal Epidemic. 4 years in the making. 4 years, Duncan, since we started this shit.
Oh.
And it's all come round. 5 stars to Duel.
Yeah. If you believe in something strong enough, actually, we had nothing to do with this. It was all the band, and fucking well played, honestly. Yep. Just album 3.
I know.
Album 3. Oh my god, where are they going to go next?
I don't. I have no idea.
No glass ceiling. That Duel are the sort of band that I wouldn't think there's a glass ceiling on at all. I'm more excited now, having heard the new album, as to what they might go on and do, and I'm happy to wait 4 years for the next one. Yeah. So.
Awesome. That is the review. Thanks for checking it out. Much appreciated. We'll be back with another review very soon, but until then, take care. Speak to you soon.
Bye, everyone.